Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You got it! It's time for episode 596 of Who Charted, the show where comedians discuss the top 5 songs and movies of the week. Congratulations, you have reached Checkpoint Maverick. Ooh. On the road to Summer 22. We're here. I'm your host, H. Michael Cray, a.k.a. Dragon Boy Suede, a.k.a. Sultan of Summer, a.k.a. Ed Ricketts of Pick Disc. Howard Kramer. What's up, star?
That's a new one. That's a new one. Ed Ricketts of Pick Disc. Pick Disc.
Picture disc, yeah.
Picture disc. All right, that's good.
He's Steinbeck's friend that used to catalog all the wildlife yeah. before it was cataloged. That's perfect. Doing that with picture disc, yeah. DVD.
How about Maverick? Have you seen it?
No, I heard it's great from all the media. It's Tom yeah. Cruise's first opening over $100 million.
It's his first one.
Figured, that's crazy to me. Who would have figured the rest of his were all sleeper hits?
Yeah,
they just kind of grinded out some box office after a while. But pretty crazy. We'll get to it in the movie chart. But we've got a Maverick pilot of our own landing on the runway right now. Here he comes. You know him from clubs, colleges, television projects, and the big screen. Here he comes. Welcome him to the charts, Mr. Will Weldon. What's up, Will?
Not much. That's just the greatest. It's my the all-time greatest like intro that just clearly shows like somebody doesn't know any details about a person's life. It's like, you know, from clubs and colleges across the country.
Hey, man, we've done almost 600 of these. You know, it's hard to keep everybody's credits in my head. But what clubs and colleges are your favorites? Let's start right there.
I don't know. I think the like handful that have booked me probably rank up there pretty high. The ones that have been like willing to work with me.
Yeah, probably.
Top the list. And down at the bottom are the like hundreds that have not booked me is hundreds, how I would probably go.
Wow.
Hundreds. I don't know how many how many comedy clubs are there?
That's a damn good question. I've often I've thought sometimes like, oh, there must be 50 to 100 comedy nights in every major city.
Wow.
There's no way.
There's no way.
Seems like a lot.
What if I said there's 50? What if I said there's 25 places you could go up every night in every major city?
That would be an insane thing to say, I think.
You think so? You think that's too many?
I mean
LA alone, New York alone, SF alone, those guys right there, there's 100 every night.
Are we counting like ambushing people, like the woman who started doing a set when the movie wouldn't start in that theater?
Yeah.
Yes. That counts. Comedy at Chaplin counts. Anything.
Those are both.
Yeah, okay, norms. Then that's fair. Yeah. Then there are like In the most literal definition of the phrase, there are for sure 100 places you could go and do comedy on any yes. given night here.
Yes. But what about if it was just comedy clubs? There's 100 spots for grab just at the big three clubs.
What are the stakes of this conversation?
It's like a math equation.
Right, yeah, it's like a thing we cannot prove, and there is nothing to be gained from it. It's like the ultimate argument.
Well, I just like when I'm not out doing stand up, I'm thinking, how many gigs am I skipping? You know what I mean?
Like, oh yeah, you get that. Yeah, you got that hustle gene. Yeah, hustle yeah. Kramer, everybody calls you.
That's me, Hustle Kramer. Hey, Will, great to have you in. We've been having great times over at Comedy Chaplin and all the many gigs we've done throughout the years. Now we're going to discuss music and movies. Let's get into the music chart. Let's listen to the theme. Music. We used to play LPs. 8 tracks, cassettes, and CDs. Now we download and we stream. What the heck's next? NFTs? Tunes. All right.
Wow, I what a thrill getting to see that live. Is it the same every week? I wouldn't know. The show's paywalled behind Stitcher Premium, and I already used my free trial, so I couldn't listen to how much the show has changed since the last time I've heard.
Thanks for trying to do the research. We've got news coming up with that announcement we're going to be making soon, so thanks for being so topical. But I've already forgotten the question.
Oh, do you do it live every week? Is the theme the same every week?
It's been morphing over the years. Sometimes the beat's a little different. Sometimes the lyrics are a little different. So
does that really bring you back to your Dragon Boy Suede days?
It sure does. In fact, there's new stuff coming out as we speak.
New Suede
on Spotify. New Suede.
Wow.
Two new songs over there. I think the second one premieres June 10th. Check that out.
Exciting
stuff. So it does bring me back.
Wow. Look at that. I am not, without even meaning to, just absolutely doing perfect segues into
you. You're like interviewing me. You're running the show.
Teeing them up.
Tee me up. Okay. What music chart do we have this week?
All right. We got the top songs on Spotify.
Ah, excellent.
So coming in at number five.
Number five.
We got Lizzo with About Damn Time. It's about damn time. Turn up the music. Let's celebrate. I got a feeling I'm gonna be okay. Okay. All right. It's about damn time. In a minute, I'm gonna need a sentimental man or woman to pump me up. Feeling fussy, walking in my Balenciennes, trying to bring out the fabulous. Cause I give a fuck way too much. That's the TikTok verse. I'm seeing that all over TikTok.
How much of each song are you technically allowed to play? Is it 0 seconds and you just get away with it the same way most podcasts get away with it? Or this is the thing I've always wondered about.
I've seen entire porns where there's just music playing in the back. Like, I don't think that's just a there's no way to control that anymore, I guess.
Right? I really like watching like foreign movies from like movie industries that essentially like barely exist, where clearly it's just like people just like shooting and editing in the camcorder. Mm-hmm. And I went on a run of watching Thai movies where they were just using, you know, like Since You've Been Gone, just like some of the most expensive to license possible songs. And I was like, odds are good they probably didn't get the rights to do this in this Thai movie somebody shot in their backyard.
Yeah, she didn't fly to Thailand to lay down a movie-only version.
At the risk of any larger legal, red flags, I think this shows pretty well into the fair use territory because we're actually reviewing these songs. We're commenting on them, you know?
Yeah, I did a podcast time, and they just played an entire episode of Star Trek The Next Generation over the course of the podcast. And about halfway through, I was like, this cannot be allowed. Like, there is absolutely no way this is legal. It's just nobody cares.
Yeah, people don't care anymore. There's too many fires going on for people to put them out. But good call on the legal Hey, statement start.
I'm just looking out for you guys. My wife works in the music industry, so I know about like the automated software they have for DMCA taking.
Is she the one who automates the software? That to me is what the music industry is now. Just automated software.
Boy, auto tune. In my day, we used to manually tune.
Oh boy. does she work with artists and stuff? What's she doing over there?
No, she's in like operations at this point. She like keeps it running more smoothly. She did work in marketing for a little bit though.
I see.
Yeah.
Right. Probably shouldn't connect.
I did talk to her about, I was like, hey, the one song I'm bringing in, I just want to make sure what's like a song I absolutely 100% should not touch at all. And she was like, probably these five songs right here. Don't talk about these. So there's no possible way it could come back to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, she's giving you good advice. Behind every great man is a great lady.
All right. Coming in number four.
Number four.
This is Bad Bunny, Mi Porto Bonito.
You know how, you know, I don't speak Spanish, right? So sometimes it's hard for me to judge the artist or whatever. So then I kind of want to know, okay, why is he popular to everybody else that can speak Spanish? You know, that a kind of a disclaimer or whatever.
Yeah.
It's strange that after all these years that just still doesn't happen. It's just kind of up to you to figure out who, like, is that... I mean, in France or somewhere else, it's like they're hungry for American artists, or they're used to the songs being in a foreign language. Seems like here they could do a better job just as from a marketing standpoint. I don't know why, like, I'm supposed to like Bad Bunny. If I, you know.
Oh, you mean of letting you know what he's talking about? They should do a better job of that?
Yeah, or something, just because it's like the artist is in a foreign language, so it's like you're not going to get any of the English people, but I have no handle on it.
So you want to hear kind of like a voiceover come over first. And yeah. Like, so what you want to listen for is, you know, the tone of voice is pretty different for this.
I want a Hispanic man with speaking in English, but with a thick accent telling me what to pay attention to.
Yeah, you want like captions for like The Blind when you go see a movie, and it gives you the audio description of what's happening on screen while the movie's playing.
Yeah. But I mean, if they tried to sell Spanish speaking movies to a large to just anyone in America, it would behoove them to give sort of a translation. The only thing I know is Bad Bunny. I mean, that's all I know.
Yeah, but movies aren't as much about vibes as music is, you know.
True, which makes it even harder.
You know, what's the difference between to somebody who does not speak Spanish? What's the difference between the lyrics to a Bad Bunny song and the lyrics to a Bon Iver song? You are getting just as much literal meaning out of
both. Or a Pearl Jam song.
True.
Yeah.
True. That's true. You don't understand anything being said.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Pearl Jam is just mush mouth. I guess with Bon Iver, I was thinking, you know, it's very abstract what he's talking about. Yeah. Then there are also the bands where you're just like, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. I don't want to know what their message is. Great points.
Speaking of that, I just sent Howard a video that made me crack up, and he was talking about how he can't get it out of his head. There's a YouTube video of Motley Crue live, and it's trying to interpret like what Vince Neil is singing. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't have those captions, I mean, you would just be lost completely. So, but they're putting in obviously.
That's the
fake
first
lyrics.
Time you ever heard Dr. Feelgood. Yeah. And you're going by what Vince Neil does live.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And just imagine missing out on such like a rich poetic experience as to miss lyrics to a Motley Crue song. It's as if the book Norwegian Wood had not been translated into English. Well, we all would have been deprived of.
Right.
That makes me sound like an asshole making fun of Motley Crue lyrics to be like, but this Japanese novel is real poetry.
But what? Why didn't I get any more details about Dr. Feelgood? The character of the man, how he became Dr. Feelgood,
how he got his credentials.
Yeah, I would love an introspective look back at the adolescence of Dr. Feelgood.
What made him want to make people feel good?
All right, coming in at number three.
Number three.
This is First Class by Jack Harlow.
I could see the whole city from this balcony. Back in 2019, I was outside freely, but now they got it out for me. I don't care what frat that you was in, you can't out for me. Keep dreaming. Pineapple juice, I give a sweet, sweet, sweet semen. I know what they like, so I just keep cheesing. Hard drive full of heat seeking. Trying to come to San Diego.
I gotta say, that's the first time I've heard that Eagle scream sampled. Maybe in like a, like yeah, I gotta give it to him.
Music.
Yeah, that's like low hanging fruit. He's the first one to find like that, you know?
Seems like all these guys with the most game now, him and Drake, like they never have a girlfriend. Like what's the point of all the game?
Well, I think maybe Drake would not want us to know about a lot of the girls he seems to date at specific periods in his career.
You mean like porn stars and stuff like that?
No, it just seems like he like texts with a lot of like 15 and 16 year old girls.
Oh, you know? The younger ladies.
And then it'll be like, oh, Drake out to dinner with a family friend. And you're like, ugh, come on. what an extremely polite way you did his publicist a favor to put this.
Drake buying a Frozen sweatshirt for his latest friend.
Yeah. Yeah, Drake spotted at ice cream truck with family friend. I got kicked out of the Toronto Raptors subreddit because Drake's like their like international spokes guy, and it's awful. He's such a bandwagon jumper. He truly has no loyalty to anything. But there was a photo of him like hugging the Toronto Raptors mascot. And somebody posted it, and I just replied to that with, I didn't know the Raptor was a 15-year-old girl, and I got booted like, just having a little fun on the online, you know?
Yeah.
Some online fun.
Shouldn't it be like someone who hates the Raptors who says something like that?
No, because I love the Raptors. I'm embarrassed that like Drake is like our like community outreach guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like... When he was rubbing the coach's back, he's like the first guy to do that.
Yeah, don't touch the coach. Don't do that.
Yeah, you're in the middle of a game.
Come on. Guy's trying to coach us to a championship here. You're going to touch Nick Nurse? Don't do that.
Nick Nurse.
Yeah, Nick Nurse.
Wonder if he knows Dr. Feelgood. Well,
all right.
Great luck to the Raptors next year. We'll see what happens.
Great. A deep analysis from a big sports, we'll a big right ball back. Head right there.
ESPN Plus. We'll be right back.
Around the horn. All right. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
Oh, this one's interesting. Kate Bush with Running Up That Hill.
That's right. The 1985 song in the top five.
And you know why, right? From Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
Yeah.
It can't be a good reason when that happens. And it's not.
Not a Kate Bush fan?
These songs mystified me the entire time they've been out.
Yeah.
And it's funny, when I listened back to this, because I hadn't heard it in a long time, I was like, this sounds exactly like a song from right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, they're like... Like, this is the height of culture right now. Just this weird stuff. And then have you seen the video where she's like hyperactively dancing in her leotard? It's like, it doesn't match the song. It's odd to me that this, out of all the songs, that this one, I'm against.
Yeah.
I got to say.
You're against. It. Got it.
Yeah.
It does remind me of Lorde or something like that. Like, you could picture her just putting the song out today and dancing hyperactively in the video.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, on the off chance my wife does listen to this, I do want to just add that at no point did I contribute to the Kate Bush slander. I would like it on the record. It's entirely silent the entire time.
She worship at the feet of Bush?
I don't know about worship, but she was. We were actually talking about how she's. Now it's like that thing where you get old enough where when you're younger and something that you liked when you were young becomes popular again.
Yeah.
You have that thing where you're like, oh God, now everybody's going to think I only like it because it's popular again. And then you just reach the age where you're like, I don't really care. I don't really care when people like date my enjoyment of this thing. It's fine. You know,
right. I keep to myself. But I know her, Laurie Anderson, they were like weird keyboard artists back then that you were like, you're supposed to like them. You're supposed to, because yeah. It's serious and it's like overwrought and she's got emotions going on. I don't know.
Yeah, it's sort of like this is the real artist doing the sort of synth sound.
Yes.
Synth pop stuff.
Yeah.
Now I'm just picturing your wife like in a van out on the street with like tracking equipment on this podcast.
It's like a big, yeah, it says George's Flowers on the side of the van. Yeah, huge antenna dish. Radio dish.
Looking over my shoulders now. Mm-hmm. We've run into about 6 violations already.
She regulates all podcast mentions with Kate Bush.
All right, coming in at number one.
Number one.
Harry Styles with As It Was.
I mean, Aha was probably 85 too. I mean, we're peak 85 culture. I thought they moved into the 90s.
Oh, speaking of 80s music, this might be a little like technical for the gearheads, but I just learned something. Howard, I think you'll like this. The guitarist for Boston invented this little unit called the Rockman. And it's like,
yeah, the Rockman, Tom Schultz.
Right.
Where you would play along with the headphones on.
Yeah, you can play with the headphones on, but I didn't realize just how much this little box, it like contains the 80s, like everything you think about the 80s guitar sound.
Oh, all the sounds are on
yeah,
the
so like Def Leppard Hysteria, that huge album Mutt Lange produced, and it's known for just being this like super overproduced, polished album. If you look online at somebody playing one of these Rockman boxes, it's that entire album. Like you could just
every preset on the Rockman is
they just plug that box straight into the board, and it contains like every Def Leppard hot guitar tone you've ever heard.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really kind of fascinating.
They seem like they were, you know, dicking around with pedals and shit like that. Like they just didn't even
you would picture like a wall of rack mount equipment with lights blinking and
That thing was famous as like, oh, you don't need an amp to practice. You could just plug in the Rockman and play without an amp.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
They just
plugged it direct into the board.
Right on. And speaking of them, they put out a new album this week. It was, they went up against Liam Gallagher.
That's right.
Drop Date Duel.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that went. Battle of Britain. All right. Well, some amazing, amazing songs coming out right there.
No commentary on the Harry Styles song at all.
Well, we've talked about it so many times, but you're right. Will's right. With us.
Oh, no.
Wait, you're right. Legally, we got to comment on it. You're right. Yeah. You're right. We got to review it. No, we've heard it for about 6 weeks straight
right.
Number one on these charts, but I like it.
Me
I do
too.
Like it.
Yeah. Every time I'm in the car now, I got to hear that. If I'm driving, bit of an AV cord hog. I went to over here.
Whoa,
yeah, man. Dark.
Does that put a strain on the marriage?
We haven't spoken since the song came out.
It is kind of a pandemic referencing song. They're saying it's not the same as it was before, but I guess there's reasons to continue if you listen. All right, we'll be right back with the movie chart. How often do you go back to Toronto?
Never.
Never?
Yeah, I don't have any family there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my sister and my parents live on the East Coast, and then my brother and all my aunts and uncles are still in Calgary, which is where I grew up.
Like East Coast of Canada?
Yeah, like New Brunswick.
Oh, okay.
An absolute dump of a province. Like it's pretty, it's nice, but like It's everybody leaves to make money, and then everybody, and then they come back to die once they're old. It's like, that's like the true thing about it is people go there to die. It's like a huge retirement home.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's weird to hear a Canadian shit on their own country to Americans.
Canadians are so full of shit. The most full of shit people. They make me nuts. And like, I moved here a long time ago. Like, I was like 22 when I left. So that's a part of it. But like, all this shit, like, oh, they're nice. And like, it's like, we're not nice. We're polite, which is a completely different thing. They talk about like the problems here, but like, we have like an environmental, like the tar sands in Alberta are like a Shonda, like the destruction of the environment.
I love that dude. Quote. The tar sands in Alberta are a Shonda.
It's so bad there. And it's also one of the most racist places. Like, it's just like, you know, they're like, no, America is so racist. And it's like, yeah, why don't you ask any Canadian who lives near a tribal reserve. Why don't you ask them what they think of that experience? Right.
It's like
some pretty dark shit out of
it's
them.
Like Australia too. I always think like, hey, pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah,
guys aren't so diverse either.
Yeah, they have a prison island for immigrants that they don't let any press members go visit.
Jeez. Hey, what are the tar sands? I didn't know about that.
Sands are a massive, they're in northern Alberta. It's this massive site where they extract.
Is that where the Keystone oil. XL is coming out of? Isn't that the whole thing? It's coming from Canada.
Yeah, I think that's going to be British Columbia.
Okay.
It would come out of, though, because it was going to run along the coast.
Is it also that cube from Avengers, the tar set?
Yeah. Part of the reason I hate Canada is just because there are a lot of like big blue beams shooting straight up into the sky that people are like, destroy everything. And you're like, why is this so vague? This sucks. Why don't you write an ending, Canada?
Yeah. Stop putting it on the superheroes to figure everything out. Right on. Okay.
All right.
Let's do the movie theme.
Let's get into it.
Movies, they're just like tweets. They release them constantly. Most of them we don't need to see. But when you get a good one, ooh-wee, movies.
Ain't it the truth? We are in a period of movies right now. The movies are hotter right now than at any point since the start of pandemic. We have a $100 million opener, and we'll see if the chartist can guess what it is as we move through this chart.
All right, coming in at number five.
Number five,
The Bad Guys.
All right. Oh, this is animated.
The five of you are villains, predators, remorseless sociopaths.
Oh, stop it. You're making me blush.
How about that? A dog from England. I can immediately know what a dog from England's thinking, but a bunny from South America? I don't know. I have no idea.
You need the same voiceover guy,
Please. The
preface for it.
Something,
yeah.
Wow, the instrumental in the back of that trailer is that
Billie Eilish.
Is it Billie Eilish?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It sounds like
Art of Noise.
No, it sounds like a P. Diddy in the Family song from Not the Big album.
Oh, right.
That they
the Family, not yeah. the Big album.
It sounds like, I think it was called like Bad Boys for Life, and it featured some of the most arrhythmic rapping you've ever heard. We ain't going nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
I remember where I was on Highland when I first heard that song. And I was like,
wow.
God, that's clunky. That's a song. I go, that's a bet went wrong or something like that. It's like the producers. Let's put in the shittiest, clunkiest thing and it'll be a hit, you know? Springtime for Hitler.
All right. Coming in at number four.
Number four.
Downton Abbey, A New Era.
I read a one-sentence review of this.
Yeah?
It said, We've got to cancel this tired old hag of a series.
Who wrote that? Piers Morgan?
Probably Piers. It was like New York Post or something.
Okay.
But here, that's great when you hear that one of these is terrible, you know, like something that you're supposed to like and you're supposed to be smart enough to be interested in.
It just feels like that feeling of no regrets. Like I can just go forward. Yeah. I made the right choice.
Ah, right.
Never dove
it in. It sounds a little bit like the Downton Abbey version of Sex and the City 2, where like the first Sex and the City movie, people were like, fine, it brings everything to a close. And then the second movie comes out and they're like, what crime did humanity commit against God that he would let this happen?
Right. That's a great point. It's like, well, I thought we had closure. Why are you reopening this wound?
Yeah, it's over about this boring family. Like,
I always think
alone.
Of it as like if you actually went through with being a male prostitute, like you'd think it's going to be fun and funny. And but then it's like you got to, you know.
Yeah,
bang old lady sometimes when you're maybe not in the mood or you're going through a tough thing on your own.
I like that.
And it's harder, man. You gotta, you know, it's harder to get it up than, you know, the alternate version where you just gotta grab a bottle of lube and shoot that up there.
Great point.
It's true. That's true.
Great point. Will your wife object to that detail?
What detail?
Just that you got sexual there.
No,
you're sexual.
No, on my album, I have a bit about an ex-girlfriend who shoved my own cum into my mouth after sex.
Oh my God.
And
shoved it?
Yeah. She scooped it up and shoved it into my mouth. And
just angry at you or she was trying to get you to eat it?
No, I mean, I don't want to like do like a bit here. No, it was a thing where after she did it, she called me a cum slut. And I was like, all right.
Oh,
yeah. I mean,
being dominant.
Yeah. The joke was she was like, are you my little cum slut? And I'm like, the evidence would suggest that I am your little cum slut.
That's the way you speak to each other in the bedroom.
Well, I mean, at that point I'm done. So I'm back to like real world rational where I'm like, you make a great point here.
Just what you want when the world returns and you're back to normal. That's so much.
I mean, this was years and years ago, but bit is on my album. And she told any family member of hers who was like, I listened to Will's album. She was like, that one bit is not about me. You know which bit. And that wasn't me.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, what's the name of the album?
It's called Fuck That Guy.
Oh, right on.
Okay, yeah. I wanted to make sure it was Spotify? As hard to promote as possible.
Right.
I may go listen to it. That is funny. Will's also got a great bit about a dog. I mean, I won't go into it here, but I love that bit. I think of it and it makes
me. Which bit, about how my dog deserved to die or about how a dog at a comedy show is death?
Oh, no, the dog masturbating.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a third one?
That's the bit about my dog deserving to die because he used to like sexually harass my wife when I wasn't around. it was fucked up. It's really,
the dog would wait till Will left the house and then it would masturbate staring at his.
Oh, wife. Wow.
It would like corner her and masturbate.
Lecherous.
Yeah, it's anytime. I mean, I had him for a really long time, but anytime I'd see that bumper sticker on a car that would say who rescued who, and it would be like the outline of a human and a dog in my head, I'd always be like, I rescued him. How dare you imply that this was not an insane act of mercy on my part to take this dog in.
This masturbating dog.
Absolute pervert.
Yeah.
Gave him a house.
All right. You shove it in his mouth.
Oh, well, first of all, he was not coming anywhere. Thankfully, those have been snipped right off. But he did actually he did sort of almost like famously have like he was a Chihuahua dachshund and he kind of like famously had a big dick, like
famously.
I had another joke about you. I knew my dog's dick was big because people would tell me his dick was big and like. A dog's dick has to be really big for it to override the part of a person's brain that goes, don't talk about that dog's dick, and makes them go, I got to comment on that dog's dick.
Yeah.
He was at a birthday party one time. People screamed as he would walk towards them. It was outside and people would like scream as he walked towards them because it would like swing underneath them as he walked around. It's disgusting. It was like a brutal little creature.
What's the dog's name?
His name was Lenny.
Lenny,
yeah. Perfect.
The hung dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Disgusting. The disgusting thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes those small dogs will surprise you, you know? Yeah. I guess they got something going for them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Really helped them out in life.
All right. Coming in at number three.
Number three.
Oh, the Bob's Burgers movie.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, boy. Oh.
I thought that was you, no. Howard.
Oh, no. Oh.
Where's the Billie Eilish in the back?
Oh, boy.
Dad, I don't want to stop your flow, but can you pass the pilaf?
Is this the movie?
Yeah.
You know what? Butter's better.
You have 7 days to make your payment.
Seven? It's gonna be okay, Bob. Happy, hopeful, kissy lips.
Stop, please.
Oh! Oh, my God.
Louise, don't go down there.
And, like, wow. I really like Bob's Burgers a lot, but it always feels weird to make a movie from a TV show before the TV show is over. Because then it's just kind of an extra long episode of the TV show.
Yes. It's like they did that with the Brady Bunch, but they aired them for free.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, in the case of Entourage, it was also the worst episode of the television series.
Yeah. This thing is still on. It's going to be on for years to come, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Is it because it's just so cheap to make? It's like, hey, this will put us, give us another movie.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was a thing where like a lot of people started watching it during the pandemic and they were like, we can make this without anybody having to be in the same room as each other.
Right.
And try to capitalize on this momentum. But also,
let's have this in production. Yeah.
But it's also like, you know, they're still trying to make a Hot Wheels movie. So like, I have absolutely no idea why people would actually make any decision that they make when it comes to green lighting movies.
Yeah. It's like, we're not in those rooms. I'm sure there's cultish ideas floating around, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe Lauren Bouchard saw a Fox exec kill a guy. And this was like his deal to keep his mouth shut. Like that would make as much sense as a lot of reasoning.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly not public demand. I mean, I don't think even their fan base was like, we got to see this on the big screen.
Yeah,
I don't know. Congrats. I feel like it might just recruit new viewers. Like anyone like me, I've never actually watched Bob's Burgers. I've heard nothing but amazing things. But it's like now that there's a movie, maybe it just reminds you like, oh, yeah, I really got to go back and watch that, you know?
Right. I got to check it out. I can just picture boxes of this on DVD, just like
you licking your lips. You want those DVDs?
I got like 240 sealed copies of like Angie Tribeca season one. I got like 300 copies of Looney Tunes DVDs.
300 copies.
Yeah. Wow. I could just see this being something like that, but hey. Congratulations. And look, I bet we're going to find out it's funny and it's something we should check out.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's great. That sealed DVD thing does make me think about the people who bought like the first like 14 seasons of The Simpsons on DVD.
Yeah.
And then they all just started streaming on Disney Plus, and now they have to find space for like an entire wall of 5 DVD sets lying around their apartment that also are like ugly as hell.
Yeah. Or they try to sell them on, Facebook Marketplace for like $10 each disc. There's such a crazy disconnect from the people who still have their DVDs. They still think they're worth like 2/3 of what they were worth when you bought them at Best Buy.
Right.
Crazy.
All right. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
Marvel Studios' Doctor Strange. Doctor Feelgood.
The Marvel Dr. Fielding.
Yeah. That really should be the song of this series.
The live version.
Yeah. Yeah.
The nightmare begins.
Cumberbatch.
He's the one they call Dr. Strange. How come he didn't have a rock tune? Been kind of cool. Like you're saying, I mean, they don't make any, they don't try to put like Immigrant Song or any Zeppelin in these. Like the Thor ones are always exciting. Right. Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah, or even better, just hire somebody to make a song where the lyrics are the plot of the movie to play over the end credits.
Right.
The greatest,
Kelly.
Yeah, the greatest era like we should go back to the era of having a rap song that just sums up the plot of the movie you just watched playing over
yeah,
the end credits.
I always liked that.
Adam's Family Values.
It's a great look, a great movie, a great legacy to follow in the footsteps of.
There was Wildcats. It was a movie with Goldie Hawn. It was like a football movie.
Oh, but yeah.
At the end of it, LL Cool J does a rap to sum it all up.
Oh, right.
I miss that. Hey, that wasn't number one, was it?
No. No, definitely not.
We all know what number one
is. We got number one right now, and that is Top Gun Maverick.
There it is. Hey, you know, I read he didn't they had to talk him into making this thing. He wasn't thinking about making another Top Gun. And then they went and they said, "We got this story. It's not going to be called Top Gun 2.
Yeah.
You're not going to find out what happened. It's Top Gun Maverick."
Well,
and he got it pitched. And then while the director was still in the room, Cruise picks up the phone and calls Paramount and goes, "We're making another Top Gun."
Oh, wow. Oh, that's a big phone call. But wait, hold
one
on.
One guy can call up.
How would that not be what you assumed happened? He's had 30 years to think of the idea of a Top Gun sequel.
Dude, those stories are always so funny where it's like, you know, he wasn't going to make it.
Yeah.
And then they pitched it to him. Like, let's do it.
He obviously wasn't going to make it. Yeah. It's been decades.
Yeah, the real story is like, he wasn't going to make it, and then they kidnapped his child, and then he made it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Like in my mind, he's like, you know, like when you think about Rocky or those Rambo movies, you think like the first guy who really wants to make all those is Stallone. It's like, who else is wanting to make those? No, it's him telling people. So it's like with Top Gun, I just always thought like he must be sitting around all day trying to think of how to bring that back. It seemed to me strange that it came from somebody else.
He's such a weird guy, though. Like, he's such a strange man.
Who, yes.
I don't so even weird. Know what, like, he's essentially given up on, like, acting. Like, he doesn't, you know, he's still good in the movies, but he's essentially become, like, the most famous stuntman in the history of film.
You can't stop him from doing it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, like, that. The trailer for the new Mission Impossible, where he just rides a motorcycle off a cliff. I just remember having a moment where I was like, it's too much. I'm out of it now. I'm like, I now just feel kind of sad for this guy. Like, like in 5 years, he's going to be doing interviews where he'll be like, "I was suicidal. And why didn't anyone try to help me? I like obviously needed help.
I was throwing up every red flag I could doing my own stunts in every single movie in my 50s. And none of you intervened. Thanks."
It is weird. Like, that's not something I ever needed from Tom Cruise, you know, like from Jackie Chan, sure,
right?
That was part of the deal.
Like, I gotta know Cruise is doing.
I gotta know he's jumping off that ledge or whatever.
And it is like Jackie Chan. I mean, I know there's still like it's the athleticism still and the timing and everything that Tom Cruise has to do, but like Jackie Chan, the stunts are also like you watch them and you're like, it's, you know, once you reach the age of 14, if you have not done any martial arts, you'll just never be able to do what Jackie Chan does. Like it's too late for you to start and get that good. But like, I'm like, well, theoretically, I could ride a fucking motorcycle off the edge of a cliff. I just don't have the sheer willpower to do it.
Right. I just don't, I'm not crazy enough to force myself to do it.
I just have a regular human brain. And so why would I ever halo jump out of a plane at like 25,000 feet? And then in that, the last one, he does the halo jump. They just CGI'd all the background anyway. So you're like, why the hell did he do that if they weren't going to include they edited over all of the footage of it. It's the most unnecessary thing I've ever seen.
I think he's just like, he's a nonverbal guy. He can't speak that well. And so this like, keeps him busy and interested. You know, it's like, I won't have to talk about anything. They'll see me running.
Yeah.
You know, there was an article I saw that, like, is he actually good at running? Because
No.
You think about it. That's how much running he's done.
It would be funny if that was the Church of Scientology's next move and, like, defending him. If they went, like, the approach of being like, how dare you make fun of someone for being neurodivergent? How dare you make fun of Tom Cruise?
Right.
That's so funny there'd be an article about that. Like, if I was Tom Cruise, I'd be so pissed. After all of these stunts, they're questioning if you can even run, right?
But then also, like, digging into whether he can run. Obviously, right before he does a scene, they have someone who shows him how to do it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why would you... Like when they used to take, like, they'll teach Jessica Alba karate for this action movie. Mm-hmm. How did she learn that?
You know? Oh, right.
I don't know how. Teachers, I guess?
Yeah.
Hey, right on. What a movie chart. It's good to see the movies are healthy and back and people are going.
I do want to see Maverick. I've decided I do want to see it.
Yeah, it does look like
it's supposed to be good. Something.
Yeah, I saw somebody tweeting about how Top Gun Maverick feels like the first movie that got, like, people who are 55 and older back into theaters.
Okay.
Because, like, before then, it's just been, like, you know, like 40 and under going to see Marvel movies largely. And now Top Gun Maverick is finally a film, a huge blockbuster film in theaters for, like a man who is 56 years old. And it's just, you know.
Even older, actually. It was like... I had girlfriend's parents and stuff who were into that. They might get 70-year-olds into the movie with that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I'm interested in how they justify Tom Cruise, like, still flying the jets at his age. Like, I think about military being, like, 18 and 19-year-olds going off.
I think test pilots run pretty old, though.
Okay.
Like, particularly in the Navy, I think the Navy's Air Force is the least respected of all three air forces. I mean, insane thing to say about a country. What a fucked up country this is. You're like, of the three air forces, the Navy's Air Force ranks in the bottom. It's like, maybe we should have any other priorities at all in how we govern.
We have three air forces.
Three.
That's just dawning on me now for the first time ever.
Yeah, let's just give one away to another country. They can just have it. We'll be fine. It's insane. Give them a huge discount on it.
We can't close airspace in Ukraine. But there's like, we have three air forces and Top Gun is the number one movie right now.
That is kind of the other thing. It's like, we have three air forces, but are at a point in history where if we went to war with, like, probably half the countries on Earth, it would just immediately result in a nuclear holocaust.
Yeah.
So like,
if we're going to get our money's worth out of these air forces, we got to have them fight each other.
Yes. Yes.
We got to do something.
We should. Yeah. Straight up. Just do like gladiatorial games of the future, where instead of two guys in loincloths with a short sword and a shield, it is like two F-15s going at it.
Yeah, we can do it up over Canada over there.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, there is so much space up there. I cannot stress enough how much empty space there is in Canada. As a guy who's driven across the entire country, you could do it up there and no one would notice over most of the country. You could just do it and not broadcast it in Canada and nobody there would pick up on it.
Right on. All right, that was the movie chart, and we'll be right back with the hot picks. The hot picks. The hot picks. The third chart is the hot picks, and the countdown's about to start. Let's see who bought a hot pick, and let's see who did not. The hot picks. The hot picks. These are the hot picks. We're going to see if we did better than Spotify. Chances are we did. We got five songs coming at you, curated by us.
That's right. Chance is right, because coming in at number five, we got
number five.
Howard's pick, Chance the Rapper, with A Bar About the Bar.
bar. Took a seat, he liked his liquor hard, his women easy. Legend has it, he was callous like fingers to pick guitar. He was just a hick that parked his pickup truck cause it was dark. And take a piss, the road was long, the line was long as shit. He thought about it, held it in and sipped the straw. Ashed out his cigar and walked out into his car. Forget that nigga, there was a line inside the bar.
Wow.
The line was so long, it wrapped behind the bar. And exposed moonshine and wine inside the jar. And it kept going to the alley and the trash behind
anyway,
the bar.
Anyway, there you go. It's just about a bar. It's a bar about a bar. And he tells you what's going on at the bar. So I thought it was pretty cool.
It's almost like prog rap or something. Like the,
yeah, yeah.
I had to really like figure out that beat.
Yeah. The King Crimson of hip hop right there.
All right, coming in number four.
Number four.
This is my first pick. This is Viagra Boys with Troglodyte.
Nice. How about the lyrics? Very topical.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I didn't see that coming. It's a little maybe too soon for some of those lyrics, but good sound.
Definitely good sound.
Yeah.
I appreciate a band that'll name itself something like the Viagra Boys.
Yeah.
That's like a band that's like, listen to their music and is self-aware enough to be like, come on, how popular are we ever really going to be? Like, right. Are we ever going to be like right in the window at like Target or whatever? So we might as well just go with like, you know, the Viagra Boys or Diarrhea Planet or whatever.
Yeah. Or like, let's get a brand name in there that other people will see for other reasons, but think of our band.
Oh yeah. They could, I bet they could get sued for that. Cause Green Jello had to change their name.
Yeah.
That's right.
For that same reason.
Yeah. I wonder if, Pfizer or whoever has gone after them.
Yeah. Pfizer goes after Viagra.
Yeah.
Depeche Mode had to shorten from Depeche Commode to be received by toilet manufacturers. Look it up.
All right. Coming in at number three.
Number three.
This is Will's pick. This is the OCs with Funeral Solution.
Just LimeWire? Who's the drummer?
Yeah, two drummers.
There he is.
That's Donkey.
Yeah, it is.
Good pick, Will.
Yeah, they're a great.
Also, right now they are just OCs, O-S-E-E-S, because they like to, the lead singer will do like change the name to like slight variations on
I see,
the OCs.
I see it different like every time I read it. Okay.
And this is another thing. My wife told me that's like when I mentioned it to her, she was like, that's like the most annoying thing to do to your label to make them have to communicate with Spotify to make sure all of those songs link up under the variations of the name.
So they just put out albums
for that.
They technically put out albums under different names that are all similar.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you just put in the OCs, they all end up as the OCs.
I wonder what his reasoning for doing it is.
I think he's a bit of a nut.
Yeah, he's annoying.
I think he just is like, I think there's a lot. He was on Marin's podcast and he essentially talked the entire time. Like Mark could have gone and gotten a coffee without anybody really noticing.
Wow.
It's like you listen to it. Marin. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, you know, you listen to a guy talk that much and you're like, oh, this guy has more ideas than a human being is meant to have in one lifetime.
Right. Sounds like he's sober, probably.
I don't think so. I watched him. There's a video of him soloing while drinking a beer that he just put in his mouth and tilted his head back. Okay. And drank the whole thing like that. So I think he might be the opposite of sober.
Mm. Oof. I don't know. It could have been, you know, like a wheatgrass shot. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doctored all the bottles.
The old smoothies.
All right, coming in at number two.
Number two.
Oh, this is my second pick. This is, I don't know if it's hot or cold. This is Willie Nelson. And the lyrics just struck me. It's like, I think Willie is maybe too high at this point.
Wow.
Because he's getting sort of heady, and I'm not sure what he's saying. It's called Energy Follows Thought.
Imagine what you want, then get out of the way. Remember, energy follows thought, so be careful what you say.
Whoa.
Be careful what you ask for, make sure it's really what you want, because your mind is made for thinking, and energy follows thought.
It's like The Secret. Right.
Yeah. That's like something you'd read on Facebook, like over like a sunset.
Yeah, it's a meme.
The whole song seems to be outlining like this deep philosophy he's come into, and I just can't quite piece it together what he's saying.
Well, that's stoner philosophy.
Yeah,
he's trying to get a vibe across, but I mean he's right. I mean that is that's a proven thing.
I don't think that's a proven thing.
What do you mean? Energy follows
pretty
thought?
Bad energies getting exactly what they want.
Well, I mean,
what do you mean?
Energy thoughts like, thoughts or things.
I think the idea of like energy and stuff. I think that's unrelated to how life actually happens.
But what do you mean? How's that? Energy and thoughts are not connected. Thought is energy.
But like, what do you mean by energy? Like in the literal sense of like synapses in your brain are firing? If that's what he means, well, then yeah, sure.
What it sounds like he
I don't
means,
know that that's...
What it sounds like he means is your thought is the first cause of something. Like the energy follows the thought. The thought is the first spontaneous like combustion.
Yes.
And then something else happens after that. You do
thoughts are things.
Thoughts are things.
Thoughts are things. Thoughts are things.
All right. But nothing caused.
Why are you sitting in a house right now?
But nothing caused that thought. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I think
someone had to think of a house before you could be sitting in it. That's what I think of.
So thoughts can do that. But then there is also the counterpoint of like, you know, some people have obsessive thought, like some people have like obsessive compulsive thoughts. And I don't think that those look like what is the energy behind that? Or what is the thing those lead to other than just sort of having like an unpleasant array of thoughts one after another?
Well, I think he's telling you to be in control of that.
Right. Okay. That's not really up to you.
I was just thinking like thoughts
that
would
could be true.
The energy influences the thoughts, right?
Right.
The energy. But what do you mean the energy? Like,
here's the thing. Here's
if you
what
stick
I,
a fork in a light socket,
now
your
I know
brain's
you mean.
Gonna go crazy, yeah. My man.
No, listen. You can't do any action without thinking of it first. So it's the thought comes first, and then the energy to
that's
do
also,
it.
That's not really true because would you consider something like breathing isn't a thought?
That's involuntary.
Your spinal cord.
But it's not
gonna happen without you thinking about it.
Right. That's not thinking. So, like, that's an action, though. Breathing is an action.
There's certain actions that only make their way to your spine, really, and then it goes back out.
That should be
the
song.
I'm not telling.
That's the lyrics to the song.
Yeah.
Certain thoughts only make it to your spine, and then they go back out.
This is the discussion I wanted to have. Exactly.
You guys are just peanut gallery now.
No. Look. I'm hardcore. I'm holding on to that hardcore rational thing. Look, all those new atheist guys ended up becoming psychos, but I'm holding on to my high school philosophy until I die.
Well, I know what he's saying. Here's the real problem. What I think is that music and lyrics are terrible places for like psychotherapy. And so it's like if you went to a doctor, you would say, what do you mean by that? And he would have to explain it. But as lyrics, you go, oh, it must be right because it's lyrics.
Right.
You know, it's like you just imbue it with all this import.
Also, I don't want to. This is not me. I'm not trying to put anybody on blast here, but right at the start of the song, Howard did like wipe his face and it made like a really wet sound with his mouth. And I just wanted it on the record that that was not me who did that. Oh, right.
Thank you for bringing that up. And Willie was probably concerned too. Like Willie wants us to, no, it's not him.
It was timed so perfectly. Yeah. That maybe some people were like, what an odd beginning to that song. Like they were like, do you want to do another take, Willie? And he was like, no, it's perfect. I want to go to bed.
I want it to be real.
Yeah. Yeah, the Clint Eastwood of musicians.
He's getting us talking. At least there's that. It's just one of those songs where it's like, good point. It's so slow and methodical and the lyrics are so highlighted that it's like he's really trying to get you to think about something. And
yeah, this is one of his, he's summing up his life and stuff.
Yeah.
Those are the clearest lyrics I've maybe ever heard in a song in my entire life. Like,
unlike Eddie Vedder,
like the emphasis is on making sure you understand every single syllable coming out of that guy.
Exactly.
Mouth.
It's like fish, you know, they do that way too.
Yeah. It's a lot like fish. That song reminded me of a song about a doll that comes to life and kills people.
I always feel like their lyrics are too clear. Like, stop making it so clear what you're talking about. Yeah.
Mumble rap, please.
Right. Yeah. All right. Coming in at number one.
Number one.
Howard's second pick. This is Liam Gallagher, Diamond in the Dark. Wow.
I left LA today. I'm on another plane. I spent too much time on the dark side of your door. I spent the night awake, had all that I could take. I might not see those baby blue eyes anymore.
I gotta tell you something. I had no hope for this album whatsoever. It's actually kind of good.
Really?
It's like I've never heard an Oasis album that I liked like this many songs on. Like it's actually I don't know why, but it's kind of good.
That song up until the chorus kind of sounds like a Black Keys song.
That's true.
Really brought me back to like 2004, 2005. You know,
I think it's because he's singing into that distortion pedal.
Yeah.
He got that filter on him.
Anyway, I've never been a big, huge Oasis fan. I like the hits, but this one is he tried to do something different.
I gotta say, you said that Drop Dead Duel was this versus Def Leppard.
Yeah,
I gotta listen back to that because I heard some of the new Def Leppard, and I almost thought the same. Like, I don't know, these guys are
interesting.
Like, it's not. If you don't like Def Leppard, you're not going to like this, but it's the quality is kind of like at their top of their game. There. Yeah.
There's like a weird resurgence of like old guys getting it back after like 30 years. Paul Schrader,
pandemic, I think.
Paul Schrader, I mean, it was a little bit like with First Reform, but like Paul Schrader's another guy where you're just like, God, what were the odds? This guy would not make a good movie for 25 years and then just like roar back with something people loved this much.
It's insane. Yeah, I think pandemic focused some guys, or they just like were thinking, well, if I'm ever going to put out another album, now's the time to work on it.
Yeah. Man, really makes Neil Young look like an asshole for that whole Russ Never Sleeps thing, huh?
Yeah.
Shows what he knows on his seminal rock album. Dude, Oasis, why Oasis? Oasis is one of those things, like, you go back and listen to that album that sold, like, whatever, like 400 million copies.
Definitely.
You listen to it and you're like, why this one? Of all the albums.
Yeah.
Like,
what? I'm with you. It's hard to predict the mainstream. It's just incredible to try to think of what will catch on with them.
You know, Garth Brooks, I get it, man. I listen to Garth Brooks and I'm like, I still get it. I still get why this happened. Shania Twain, I get it. But like,
Canada plug.
Yeah. Canada. Yeah. Pride of Timmins, Ontario.
Hey, right on. Hey, we listened to some great songs there, and check it out. Check those out. Hey, and also check out, there's a new Sex Pistols series on Hulu.
Oh, really?
Starts today.
Okay.
Check that out. Let us know. They did The Dirt with Motley Crue. Why not do the Sex Pistols? We'll see how it is.
Ooh, I hope it's not the same team that brought us The Dirt.
Same actors. Machine Gun Kelly, yeah, as Sid Vicious.
I think Danny Boyle either EP'd yeah, this one and like directed the pilot, probably.
I agree. Will, thank you so much for coming on. Everybody,
hey, thanks.
Go to Old Man Weldon on social media. Is that correct?
Yeah, but you really don't have to. Okay.
But check out the album.
Yeah, sure. Listen to the album, you know.
Fuck that guy.
Sirius. Does that get played on Sirius?
In Canada, yeah.
Oh, right.
They I submitted it to this station on American Sirius, and I got a response where they told me nothing on it was the kind of thing they're interested in playing. And I thought back to some of the stuff I've heard on that. I thought about some of the stuff I've heard on Sirius, and I was like, wow, this is like one of the rare times where like something was like really gutting. Like, this is like a real blow to my ego for them to be like, you know what we play on our stage? It's not even that good. I think I'm now at a point where I'm like, I wonder if I pissed somebody off somewhere in that chain. And that's what happened.
Probably. Imagine listening to that, yeah, those channels and going, wow, I can't get break this.
Yeah. Yeah, dark. It was a really dark moment.
Someone whose dog had a small dick, probably. Yeah. They're jealous.
Yeah. 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 Some guy talking about his shepherd's micro penis. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? I can't beat this. Come on.
What's wrong here? Well, congratulations on all that. Check it out, everybody.
then autopilot outro. I love the autopilot outro. Yeah. I love just as much as the clubs and comics or clubs and colleges all over the country.
I just figure, like, how many people hang through end credits on a podcast? That's just why I just wonder that in general, not just for this show.
Yeah, I am. My friend and I very briefly did a podcast that we, like, most of it we wrote in advance, and we would save a lot of our best bits for the very end because we thought it was funny that almost nobody would hear it. That's the kind of thinking that's really led me to shooting up to the top of the entertainment industry.
There you go.
But I do think it's funny to put all your best stuff at the end where guaranteed no one is listening to it.
Yeah, the backload.
Or way fewer people are listening to it.
That's why I post social media at 1 a.m. Hey, check out Comedy Bang Bang World,
that's
right?
That's right. Yeah, sign up, get a Maximus membership, and get all the new stuff.
Wait, what the hell is that?
Comedy Bang Bang World. It's
let's get into it. I don't know what this is. I really want to get into it. I know you're trying to exit the show and leave, but this is really when I like to get into
Will
it.
Will saves us heavy questions.
This is when I like to get into it with the host because I know it annoys them.
He sits there at movies and goes, who was the second AD?
Yeah, I'm just dead quiet through the entire recording. And then at the end, I'm like, guys, let's really get into some stuff.
Well,
go ahead.
Okay. Scott Aukerman and I, we started this. It's a website. It's a paywall. It's a portal. You can subscribe, get all the old episodes of Comedy Bang Bang. or you can get Andy Daly's, you know, Bananas for Bonanza, new episodes. You can get CBB Presents bonus episodes every week.
On a Bonanza?
It's great.
One?
Oh, yeah.
Show Bonanza?
Yes, it's an unbelievably really? Funny show.
Wow.
Andy Daly's Andy character.
Daly's on Bonanza. Oh, it's a character.
Well, his character, Dalton Wilcox, and he's like a, he's an old cowboy, and Bonanza is his favorite show.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's really good, though.
That sounds great.
It's really, really good.
Oh, it sounds great. Check all that out. Check out Griff Tours. Check out Kiss My Griffs. Check out Drop Date Duel. Check out haveasummer.com/shop. Pick up an Austin Stories DVD. Head on over to austinmonthly.com. Check out the oral history of Austin Stories. And we will see you right here next week on
Who Charted.